Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Bring Out the Best Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Wright, Professor of Transformational Leadership at the Wright Graduate University for the Realization of Human Potential. And I'm pleased to have you with me today to bring out your best and energize your life in getting ahead at work. We're going to talk about three ways to get ahead at work. And there's one big idea for you to grasp. You lead wherever you are. That means you take responsibility. That means you initiate. That means that you seek to make other people successful. Sometimes that's a tough one for people to grasp. So, the nuts and bolts of this are, one, be the host. Whatever meeting you go into, welcome people. Ask them how they're doing. Ask them how it's going, and make it a point to see if you can add to their comfort and success wherever they are. That's number one. Number two is to engage in every project, in every meeting. Don't wait. The longer you wait, the harder it'll be to get in. Least you can do is congratulate somebody, agree with something. Speak up. Be one of the first people to speak up. And number three, focus on making your boss successful. Really, really critical one is are you in good faith with your boss? Do you secretly resent your boss? I've coached a number of people with the most terrible bosses on the planet, but they seek to make those bosses succeed. And when they become bosses, interestingly, they have more loyal, trustworthy, and supportive employees. If you want to get loyalty, give loyalty. If you want to get support, give support. There are exceptions to that, but we'll save that for another day. So we've got, one, be the host. Welcome people. Two, engage and engage soon. Engage meaningfully. And three, make your boss successful. I had a executive who was in charge of an office, and his boss was a pretty strange guy that everybody thought was a bit off. And the boss was nationally recognized. And when I first started coaching this guy with this boss, he was very competitive with the boss, and they had a lot of edgy moments. I said, well, are you doing unto others as you would have them do unto you? And he said, whoa. And so he started taking stock, and he started looking at what it was he needed to do to make better contact, to support his boss, for his boss to become successful. Interestingly, what happened? They brought in an outside consultant who knew his boss very well. And that consultant said, what is it that you did? He said, well, I just worked to make things work. He says, well, I've known your boss for a very, very long time. And once he makes an opinion of someone, he doesn't change it. You, he looked down on you, saw you very negatively up front, and now you're his favorite employee. So congratulations on turning that one around. So making your boss successful is critical. Too often in meetings, people marginalize themselves by waiting too long to get in. They wait for the right thing to happen. I had an attorney come in, and he says, I got to get out of the law. I'm going to go into politics, write a book, do some poetry. I don't know what it is, but I hate the law. And he worked for a huge firm on huge accounts, major, major corporate accounts, which means there were often 6, 8, up to 10 attorneys on the account. He was smart. He knew how to do his job. He knew how to get in and get out, and he just waited for work to end. I said, well, hang on just a minute. Before you leave the law, why don't you work on being successful with the law? And he said, what do you mean? I said, you go into that meeting and you be the best prepared person. He came back the next week and he said, I can't believe it. I said, what? He said, well, I really worked and prepared, and I knew more about it than anybody else in the room, and I had fun. He was leading. He was able to also engage in our first nuts, and first of our nuts and bolts, which is to be the host. He welcomed people to the meetings. He was excited to have them be there. He was excited to play with them. He's excited to solve problems with them. So you want to have a great career and advance. The three ways to get ahead at work, first of all, they all fit into one key thing. Lead wherever you are. One, be the host. Welcome people to the meetings. Two, engage in every meeting and prepare and be ready to go for it. And three, seek to make your boss and others successful. If you act like a leader now, you don't need to wait for them to give you a leadership position. The position will come to you because you're already leading. Don't wait for permission to be a leader. Lead. Our first caller is Candy, and she says, how do I find someone I like enough to hire full time? Well, that's an interesting question. Tell me about it, Candy.
Hi, Bob.
Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Tell me about finding someone that you like enough to hire full time.
Well, at the moment, I have taken on two employees, and currently they're contractors, so I haven't, they're not on payroll. And it's been about 6 weeks or so that they've been working with me. And I'm noticing just, you know, it's a process, and it's just as much an investment for me as it is for them. And, you know, while there's qualities that I like, there's also things that I don't like that I have expressed. So, you know, it's like the timing of it. Like, I sort of feel like I could train and lead anybody, really, but some people it would take longer than others. And I'm just not really sure, like, at what point do I say, you know what, it's not working out, and don't give them as much time. You know, like, historically that has been my pattern, is I give people too much time.
Well, there are a few things that we try to keep in mind. One is be fast to hire, fast to fire. But there is another way to look at this that's very different than that, and that is if you only have two employees, you want to really invest in one and make sure it's going to be good. This is like dating. We talk to a lot of people. Are they willing to date enough people to find what really works? Same thing's true with employees. How many employees do you interview per hire?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess I have a block with that, Bob, just because of the nature of my business and the tasks that are involved with that. If I'm rotating a lot of people, it becomes a lot more work for me, and that's the thing that I'm trying to alleviate.
Well, actually, what I meant was you don't bring them in and rotate them. I said there was another way to look at it other than being fast to hire, fast to fire, which is that go through the numbers. A lot of people resist going through the numbers in the interviewing process. They don't put the ads out.
Yeah.
They don't look at enough resumes, and they don't meet enough people. And the other thing is to be sure that you specify your desires so that you're really assessing people for what it is that you want.
Yeah, and I think at this phase of my business, that's been a challenge for me to even determine, like, what is it exactly that I'm looking for? I'm looking for somebody who can do what I can do, and then some. Okay, so identifying what that is.
Yeah, the more specific you are about that, the more you can put it in ads and pieces that invite people to, you know, apply.
Yeah. And then I'm also... Well, I was just listening to your introduction, Bob, about, you know, being a leader anywhere you are and hosting. I think that, you know, I think that that's where my block is like, I feel like, you know, that kind of contradicts the fast to hire, fast to fire.
Well, the nice thing is you're working with contractors now. So I would make the contract limited, make it clear that this is a 6-week contract. And also, when you do that, you always want to negotiate what it would be if the contract turns into a hire.
Yeah.
And I've coached people who've built very successful businesses starting out with contractors, and the nice thing about a contractor is you can interview somebody without making a commitment to them.
Yeah, and too, like, what's uncovering for me as well is just like this authority thing, that's a scary place for me to say, you know what, this isn't working out, and I have to let you go. It's very
Well,
I just
but
feel
see,
really
you just—you don't want to get to that point with surprises. You want to write up all the things you're looking for, and give them a 2 or 3 week review if it's a 6 week contract. So it's no surprise to them that you're communicating what works for you and what doesn't. Then you get to week 5, you say, "Well, let's sit down and look. I'm not inclined to renew the contract." And here's why for me.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense. Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Bob.
Go get him. Thank you, Candy. So our next caller is Robin. She says, as a public speaker, how do I win over my audience? That's a big question. So talk to me, Robin.
Yeah. I need to know how to overcome the anxiety, even in meetings like the number 2 of your nuts and bolts with speaking out and being heard and being a presence. I get so anxious before it's time to speak that I forget what I'm going to say, or I'm so anxious that when I sit down, sometimes I can't even remember what I said, and I don't know how to approach that to be more eloquent and calm and present and effective.
You know, there's a deceased author named Jacques Luceyran, Luseyran, and he wrote a beautiful piece on speaking to an audience. And you want to focus on the audience. And they all live a life with vulnerability, too. And what is it in their life that you're speaking to? What is it that's going to give them a better life that you want them to align with you around? Because everybody in the audience is looking at what's in it for me.
Ah. That's a good point.
So does that give you enough to work on for now?
Yeah, I think so. I guess practice, huh?
Well, it really think about who's going to be in the audience. What is it they want? What's their interest? If you're talking about relationship, what do they feel about relationship? What do they want? If you're talking about politics, what are the community concerns? What do they care about? And then you want to minister to what and address what they care about.
Okay. Yeah, that does help. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care. Good luck in the next talk.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. So our next caller is Jessie. She says, how can I be indispensable and still be on my own side? going for what I want. I don't know how you can really be indispensable and not do both. Talk to me, Jesse.
Yeah, I was just reading. Hi, Bob. I was just reading. What is indispensable? Oh, yeah, invaluable, very much of that, and still be on my own side. I guess I'm kind of coming up to that curve of being a leader at work, and people are seeing that. And so I'm getting called bossy, and which is kind of like, I don't know, would be as a B word in the industry, that would be, you know, either a good thing or a bad thing. And I look at it as a good thing, but I'm just seeing that, how do I basically, you know, see people's negativity and ask them, like, hey, how can we... You know, what are the questions that I ask them if I'm bumping up against their negativity?
Well, it, if you're telling them what to do, most of the world reacts against that until you've established a contract with them. And have they agreed to what it is that you want to get done? Have you created a common vision within which you're both working towards that vision?
Right. That's so, yeah. Yeah, because right now we're working, the place where I work, we're changing chefs and sous chefs, and there's a lot of that authority coming in and out, and I can do kind of like all roles on the front of the house. So I'm hosting, I'm managing, I'm doing a lot of within that, and I get bumped into when I see a plate go out that doesn't look good. I say, hey, this doesn't look good, or things like that, and so it's like I want that same vision to have everything be looking good. So for one, that our restaurant doesn't look bad, two, that, you know, the head chef doesn't look bad, and that, you know, we move up as a company, as a restaurant, and get good reviews. So, like, that's where my vision is. So what I'm hearing is,
well,
talking to them
I think the real question, hang on just a second, I think the real question to a server or anyone else is, what kind of a restaurant do you want to work in?
Gotcha.
What other restaurants represent that? And if you want to work in a hash house, this isn't the place for you. If you want to work in a fine dining institution, then we have to be committed to delivering a fine dining experience for people, and that means everything looks great so they can focus on enjoying their meal and their relationship with each other.
Yeah.
So you need to just ask them and get them to agree.
Got it.
Then another thing to do is, once they've agreed that they want a fine dining experience, before I, you know, sometimes you're in a hurry and you're going to just say, would you please fix that? And sometimes you're just going to be in a very big hurry because they fix that. Or you'll say, fix that, please. But other times you're going to say, what do you think about that?
Got it.
You want to engage them in thinking.
What
a transformational leader, a transformational leader walks their talk. They're consistent. They do what they say they're going to do. They're interested in the individual benefiting. They're interested in intellectual engagement, and they generate a positive vision that everyone in the company can own. So, sounds to me like you want to be a transformational leader.
Yeah. Yeah, I
do.
It sounds beautiful. It sounds great because I see so much potential in myself and others. And, you know, we have such a great mix of people working that, you know, we all have our other things going on. But, yeah, just having that commonality goal and vision. In a place.
and being a transformational leader.
Yep, and now your job is to make sure they're all working on the same vision. They see the opportunity for themselves. They'll certainly get more tips. They'll be able to be more proud. And you want them to advance, so you're going to be behind them.
Got it. That sounds really cool.
Okay, go get them. Thanks, Jesse.
Yeah, thanks, Bob.
So our next caller is Omar. He says, how can I be a leader that inspires? Well, it follows up on what we talked about with Jesse. Talk to me, Omar.
Hey, Bob. Thanks for taking my call. I've got a practice that I run as a physician, and that in that area of my life, I have the position of authority, which means in a lot of ways what I want or what I say usually gets done. But I'm looking for more than that. We've got several new nurses and office staff, and I want to do a better job where, hey, just because I'm the doctor and I say this, this is why we do it, how can I get people to, it's kind of like what you were talking to Jesse about, how can I get people to want to work here, to want to belong, to want to feel like they're part of something? I'm just cutting on this new part of me, and I've got some other ventures as well where I'm in a position of authority, but rather than telling people what to do, how do I enroll people? I guess that's my question, you know, that's my stretch. How do I enroll people in following me?
Well, it sounds very similar to Jesse. You want everybody to feel ownership for a vision. And so one of the skills of a leader is to know the vision you want and to invite them to articulate their vision. If somebody's got a dramatically different vision, they should leave. So one is, are we aligned around the same vision? Are we aligned around the same values? And what's in it for you? Because if there's not something in it for you, you're probably not going to take care of other people that well. And are we really going to continue thinking about it and refining what we do?
Right. Well, for me, you know, in terms of practice, it's one of those things where I'm here probably 20% of the time, and the rest of the time the patient interaction is with our front office and with the nurses, and that's a lot of what they're based their patient satisfaction scores on and their other things, survey scores on. And so I like what you're saying about vision. I don't think we even have a vision for our practice, my partner and I, and I think that's something that I want to work on that with him. You know, if we can get out a vision statement and then share that and enroll people in that vision, then we're all working
work on it with all of them. What's the finest practice they've ever seen? If they were totally proud of this practice, what would they want to say about it? What would it look like? Just start the dialogue and let people know you want them talking about it and refining their thinking over the next month, and that you guys are going to want to move towards a unified vision statement within a month or so. Just get everybody thinking about it and talking.
Right. If we get them to start talking about it, I think that alone in of itself will increase the ownership of the practice just by getting them involved.
Yep, and then I think what I'd say is, look, we want to go way beyond patient satisfaction. What do we want our patients' experience to be?
Right.
Let's not hope we're satisfying. Let's surprise and delight them.
Right, exactly. I like that. I just have got a lot of ideas now in my head. I'm just thinking this could really be good because I know there's a couple of folks who are really motivated to do that kind of thing. I think it's one of those things, if I start to tinder, I think the fire could catch on pretty quick.
Okay, well, go get them. Thanks a lot, Omar.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye. So, we're on leadership. We've talked about the three ways to get ahead at work, which is be the host, engage, and make your boss successful. We also talked about the four criteria of transformational leadership, according to researchers Bass and Riggio, that you walk your talk, that you have a vision that's common that everyone can own, that you're interested in them being intellectually engaged, and you want the best for each of them. That's transformational leadership. That is what will help us fulfill our potential as human beings. So, thank you for joining us today. And next time, join us for our dating show. Three signs the way that you're dealing with your breakup is unhealthy. Huh. Maybe the unhealthiness of it started before the breakup. You ever break up? Well, join us and we're going to dig into it. How do you make it a win-win and make it work? I'm your host, Dr. Bob Wright. Thank you for joining us on Bring Out the Best, Energize Your Life, Blog Talk Radio. Go forth and bring out your best.